Feel Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
And you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yeah, Friday the 28th. And yeah, this is Sweet Talking Sports. Sorry about that. It's just the kind of like vibes on this CD kind of loud. So just kind of like just doing a little technical thing and just dropping the sound a little bit. Yeah? I think we're good to go. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep this show to yourself. These procedures will be parliamentary, of course. You know, as some have said. G is in the studio, and yes, also CV. What are you saying, guys?
Yeah, evening. Daya. But yeah, we're back again for another section.
Okay. What's been happening, guys?
Well, I'm very tired today. Very tired. Very tired. Just, you know, work and come in, yeah, do me a little spot and then me gone home.
Okay. So, yeah, let's get kind of like kicked off with this. And I want to go into the Rugby League Seas. And they're in Vegas tomorrow for the first time. We've got Warrington Wolves against Wigan Warriors. Heading for Vegas to say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas for this kind of like showdown. And they're at the Elegant Stadium, which is a 72,000 capacity. So just bear with me a sec.
Yeah.
So, just kind of like, just to do that again. Warrington Wolves against Wigan Warriors in this kind of like all Vegas kind of clash. And the reason they're heading for Vegas is to crack into the American market. History is being made tomorrow. I mean, what's your thoughts on this big kind of like showdown at the Elegant Stadium in Vegas against Warrington Wolves against Wigan Warriors?
Well, I like my rugby league, as everybody knows, and at the end of the day, everybody else is doing it, aren't they? Everybody else is doing it. Football. Now, soon you're going to have, you're paying for a season ticket, right? And then you're going to have a couple games
out in, pay for in still,
in, yes. You've paid for your season ticket, but yeah, it's going to be flying across to America to play over there. What's that about? So really, the rugby league is doing exactly
so
the same.
I take it they're taking the rugby league to America just to show them the game, the sport, basically.
Yeah.
At least we can compare it to their American football, can't we? Say it's a very similar game, but it's not the same thing. But then you've got to pay for it, so it's like a prepayment kind of stuff into like the boxing. Is that what you're saying?
How I'm seeing it is that what they're doing is saying, right, we are going to introduce rugby league over there to you. Hopefully, it kicks in and people take a liking to it, and then, right, money will roll in.
Yeah, I mean, that'll take the sport to a different kind of level as well, that won't it?
Of course it will, because more people watching it, it's going
to
come in.
But I'm on about, like, say, if the Americans take to it now and they start bringing in their own clubs to play rugby as well, do you think they will cross the border and play against somebody in the English team, or do you think they'll come with their own World Series, that I always call when it's just them playing?
That's correct. Yeah. That's another one.
World Series baseball.
World Series in
and I just American up
in American football, and world means everybody's playing in it, isn't it?
But supposed to be.
But yeah, allegedly, rugby. If it's gonna make the sport even bigger, well, why not?
Yeah, that's the plan. Tough to play that game. They're not used to that because they wear padding into everything.
That's right, but they don't.
I mean, they do, to be honest with you. In rugby, they wear padding. They've got their kind of like shoulder straps and stuff. And some of them wear kind of like a gurgle business also as well for the hips to protect that as well. You know what I mean? So it might look like they don't wear anything, but they do. Plus, they've got the head gar as well to protect their ears. Not all of them. That's kind of like choice.
That's come on, but compared to the American football.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I don't think you can compare them because they're two different kind of like sports.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which I've played both of them as well. You know what I mean? Played, obviously, rugby at school. Didn't play for county or anything. But like American football. And I'll tell you what, if you've played both sports, you'll definitely know that you'll need the pads, what they dish out. Right. I mean, sometimes I just think it's you know, a bit of ignorance when people say, why, you know, these guys over here don't need all the padding and stuff like that. But what if you compare and contrast, where you can hit players and stuff is far greater. And it's they're both kind of like in their own individual rights, big kind of sports for me. Because I mean, I used to watch the rugby thing on TV back in the day when JPR Williams were playing and Gareth Edwards and stuff. Not Gareth Edwards.
Gareth Edwards, he went from Union into league.
Oh, okay.
When it comes to this
but
sport,
international level, no, me at talk as well.
He played in Union. Union. But then he switched over and then he came to rugby league.
JPR Williams.
He never.
Yeah, JPR Williams, Gareth Edwards. There was all them Bill Bowmant and all them kind of monster, you know what I mean? All them kind of guys as well.
Them was rugby union, back in the days.
But compared to the padding and stuff, they have kind of changed because the injuries are more kind of like, not just compound injuries and stuff, but you're getting fractures, dislocations and stuff. You've got their kind of like rules. You know, they've kind of differed a little bit. The fouls, the penalties and stuff like that as well. I think for American football now, I think because like obviously the commercial side of stuff, and you've got like kind of like breaks, you know, you've got your quarters, four quarters and stuff. They like to get the advertisements in and stuff like that.
I'm sorry, but it's gone too long.
But that's the advertisements. And obviously, all sports is a money thing. Whether it's snooker, whether it's rugby, badminton, cricket or whatever, where you get like a lot of money coming in play. Do you know what I mean? It's all about that, you know? I mean, if you look at football now, you know, games used to just last an hour and a half. Do you know what I mean? And if you kind of like look at the extra time business and all that kind of thing, you're talking some kind of like not just kind of 90 minutes now. going over all 2 hours and all them kind of things. Not 2 hours, sorry, but over 90 minutes, like hour and a half, you're talking like an extra 10 minutes sometimes.
Sometimes, but
sometimes extra 10.
They cut it down now, really. It's about six, whatever. So,
but you're never going to be able to stop having the extra time, whether it's injury or whether there's somebody in the crowd disturbance.
Yeah, it's always over there, isn't it?
Yeah, or some kind of like error. Yeah, definitely. So you're not just getting the hour and a half. And then obviously, if you look at Sky Now, yeah, you've got your commercials and stuff, yeah, and they're trying to cut it down. You've got the VAR situation now.
Yeah,
look, when that first come out.
Yeah,
and people were saying, this thing needs kind of like revamping again. So they're looking at stuff like that, you know what I mean? But I don't think that can help. I mean, sticking with the LA business, it's the home of the Los Angeles Raiders. They've also got a doubleheader there going on as well, because it's England women take on Australian women as well after that. So it's like a doubleheader.
Is that in, what's that in, rugby?
Yeah, in rugby as well.
Rugby, so they're playing the women, the England women are playing the Australian women in rugby union.
It's an international, it's an international
what,
game.
Yeah. Warrington and and is it Wigan?
Wigan Warriors.
Yeah, their league. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing, they're taking both games over there to give them a taste to see how both games work.
Yeah. You know, and the stadium as well. I mean, that whole 72,000. I'm not saying that there's going to be 72,000 present, but I would say that they're probably going to be expecting over 40,000. I'm confident that.
Do you know what?
I'm
I don't confident. Think they'll be far off to 70,000, to be honest.
Well,
because you know what American are like when it comes to this.
Maybe.
And this
maybe.
Is a new one, so they might be curious to go on and see what it is.
To be fair,
you know?
It's not like those two. If we're talking about Warrington and Wigan, it's not like them two can't draw them crowds over here. Because when they play at Old Trafford, they fill it up.
That's true, because they've got some rivalry between these side them, Warrington and Wigan.
Warrington are playing well at the moment.
Warrington are fourth in their respective league.
Yeah.
And Wigan Warriors are standing in fifth place.
Yeah.
I mean, the cheapest tickets for this game is $80. And the most expensive is $111.
There you go.
Dollars. So... Wow. That's in pounds.
Yeah.
So that's for a double headed, you know, it's kind of like it's not a cheap kind of like day out.
No, it's not. Definitely not.
And supposing you know that there's going to be things to buy, you know, food, sweetie, drinks, beer, whatever they might sell out there. So it's gonna have an effect.
But the thing is, though, with the Americans, when they have these sports tournament and go,
if you lift it up, man, lift it up,
lift it up, lift it up,
lift it up.
when they have their things on, it's like a party to them. It's like a gathering, isn't it? People are out there with them chucker barbecue, beer, everything. So you never know. It could be a good thing.
Yeah. You know. And
it's true that, you know, because
yeah,
that's for any of their sport.
That's for any of their sport. This is what
they've
I'm saying. You see why I said I
come
could see
with
the stadium.
Jumper van and
everything.
And then my boss out beef burger.
Everything.
Sassy.
Everything.
And sausage roll.
Yeah, everything.
Hamburger.
Yeah.
Everything's done, man.
Yeah, everything.
This is what I'm saying. The stadium could be
true.
More than full, because the Americans will be curious of what this game's really like and to see two different games. And. To watch women then playing the sport as well.
I mean, I don't think
so.
They'd be curious, to be honest with you, because they would have probably seen it on YouTube.
Yeah,
and,
but now you're
going to
see it.
But for live to
now
see
now you're
going to
see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I hear that.
And it's a good excuse to have, I was going to say, to get sozzled as well. And it's a good excuse to have.
To get what?
I was going to say. I'm trying to remember an American term for it.
Come again with that.
Sozzled.
Ding 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 a ling a ling.
Oh yeah, we're in America, aren't we? It's got to be a different term, ain't it?
You might have a point there, you know, about, because I don't think did they have American women's football?
No,
I don't think they do.
No,
do they?
No,
American football they do actually. They do. And what they wear, I mean, if it was after nine, I'd tell you. But, you know, so you can gather what I'm saying.
Okay. They do have women.
They do have it.
Oh, right.
And it's quite interesting. Let's say that.
Okay,
let's say that. But you know, when you got some free time, just Google it.
All right.
And there is a league, but they don't wear what the men are wearing.
Okay.
It's kind of different.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
but like
okay.
I said,
basically, I just
wondered why.
I said that, but me just I'm just sticking to.
I never
you know.
Really,
well, I've said it.
I'm just
anyway.
Sticking to it. That
I've
it,
never really
it's
heard
of. It's just I've seen it.
I know they do.
And it's
I know they're big in the women's basketball. I know it's big up there over there as well. So for them to see women's rugby.
Oh, sorry. Are you talking about American football or soccer?
I'm talking about.
We just called again.
I'm talking about American football.
Yeah, yeah. For women.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got something. They've got
that.
Something like
that.
Yeah. Gee, what were you saying there?
We just called again. You see, it's as bad as me now. Me go say soccer and you go say soccer.
Soccer. Yeah, that's how what the
American
that
term
they call
listen,
it.
Yeah.
Soccer.
That's what they call it, but
yeah,
we don't call it soccer, do we? Can you imagine if American comes from Vietnam and you're trying
football.
To correct
it's
them
football,
about the game?
That's football.
Yeah.
But they don't know any difference, do they?
No, they're ignorant to it. They don't know called football.
Yeah,
but
football.
I just saw them stealing it.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, like... you know, I mean, for them kind of who are new to that, I mean, it's just kind of like the scoring will be 4 points for a try, two for goal kick, two for penalties, one for drop, and it's six tackles and a scrum, I do believe, and 13 plays on the pitch for that. But like, yeah, just diverting into the England one. Like the Aussies are clear favourites for this game, and it's like the England women will come head to head against the world champions Australia, Gillo Roos, for the first time. But the England team are called the Red Roses, I do believe.
Is this for rugby?
Yeah, for the women. For the women. So,
what's going to be over in LA?
Yes, after the Warrington Wolves, the Wigan Warriors. Now these sides haven't kind of like played each other since 2017. So this weekend it will be an impressive setting in the elegant stadium in Las Vegas. 6 p.m. Kickoff time. And they've only faced one another, I think it's on three different occasions. So Saturday we'll see the two nations meet for the first time, like I said, since the 2017 World Cup, where the Gillo Roos secured a astounding 38-0 victory. So England, they've got a score to settle. There's been a lot of changes on both sides. And I was just looking at some odds earlier on, to be honest with you. And England women was 20-1 to take the victory. I mean, I might have a little punt on that. Not for the full game, but like, if they lead, maybe get a lead before half-time. But I believe that the Aussies or the Gillo Roos will be too strong for the England Red Roses in the long run. So, yeah, so... You know, rugby goes to Las Vegas, and that will be an interesting one to keep an eye on. That one. So switching sports slightly, Raducanu, who plays India Wells after a stalking ordeal, what she had.
Yeah, I heard that on the news the other day.
And quite distressing. Also, it must have been for Raducanu. She's decided to play in California, I do believe. I think it's the Summit River, they call it. But yeah, Raducanu, 22, was deliberating whether to travel to the US for the hard court event starts next week. Former US number one, she picked up that victory, I think it was in 2021, where she won the US, when she won the US Open. Shaken but not stirred. That's what I would probably say to that one. Raducanu was visibly upset after seeing the man in the stands during the second round match last week. The BMP Open in Indian Wells begins on March the 5th. Like I said, the Californian event, yeah, is one of the biggest tournaments of the season outside the four Grand Slam, which is the French Open, Wimbledon, US, and one more open missing, I do believe. Raducanu had directly entered into the 1-2-8 player women's single field, having climbed to 55th world ranking. You know, highest rankings being 10th, now currently is 55. It's the ATP, the WTA, basically the tournament where males ATP and the females WTA play competitive together in a singles event, or mixed doubles, I should say. I mean, the fact around the stalking, the guy found a way into the courts by wearing some kit and probably blended in with the grounds people, and Raducanu pointed him out to the authorities. Emma said he wasn't a grounds person, not working there, and apparently been stalking her for 3 weeks. Imagine that, being stuck for three weeks.
Solid.
You know?
Solid.
You know, I don't know if any of your guys have been stalked. Have you?
I can't say that I have, though.
I'm not. Why? I don't have anybody that stalk me. You know what I mean? The only could stalk that me know that me get stalked are the one that when me eat, are the stalk that me put little butter upon my bread. You know what I mean? The little stalk. That's it.
Them still make that?
Yeah, some stalk butter then. Yeah, that's the little stalk that me know about. But no, a serious thing, like, can you imagine, right? You're in your tournament now, you're getting ready to play, and all of a sudden you turn on and you see that guy in the crowd. Of course it's going to put her off. In fact, it's going to want to put her off. It's going to frighten her.
You could understand why she was getting emotional and stuff like that. And I'm surprised she carried on with the game, actually, but just shows what kind of person she is.
By the way, did she lose or win?
I think she... I'm not sure. I'm not 100% certain, to be honest with you, with that. But, yeah, I mean, like you're saying, it must be quite disturbing, to be honest with you. And having recognised the guy also as well in the court area would have been really kind of like distressing. I mean, the guy's put a lot of thought into that, because he literally blended in with the grounds people. And luckily enough, she recognised him from previous. But yeah, security.
I was going to say security wasn't very good there, were they?
Well,
because I'm sure they must have had a photo of him or something.
Well, I'm not 100% certain, but I don't know if she actually reported it, really. Because, you know, I mean, if a guy has took time out to blend in, to plan it, all the planning involved, to think, I mean, what their grounds people are wearing or the security are wearing, and he's blended in there, and she's the only one that spotted him. Do you know what I mean?
That's serious.
As well as, you know, don't forget you've got people who work there, you've got spectators, you know, you've got other competitors, you know, people kind of working in the catering industry. There must have been a lot of people there. So for her to spot him out like that, you know, good on her, really.
It's because he wanted her to see her. If he didn't want her to see her, he would have hid more into the crowd. Yeah, but he wanted her to see her,
I'm here.
He wanted her to, and she spotted him.
Maybe so.
Yeah, you've got a point.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, this guy's been stalking her at home as well, hasn't he?
Has he?
But he's been following places, turning up, whatever. I'm not 100%.
Three weeks he's been at it.
Wow. So they must know about him.
But yeah, for him to get in and blend in, like, ah, that's some serious...
some serious thing. I mean, maybe be watching that film Bodyguard, you know, with Whitney and wanted some kind of like, definitely. I mean, Raducanu, 22, I mean, she's been quite handy on the courts because earlier on in the year she came third in the Australian Open. Yeah, that was one of the opens I missed out. 2022 she came second in the French Open and fourth in Wimbledon in 2021 and also last year as well. So she's quite handy on the court, and we wish her all the very, very best. This is Sweet Talking Sport. I've got G here and also CV approaching 18:25 on Sweet Talking Sport. Okay, next on the agenda, we'll dip into the boxing scene. But before we go through the Eubanks and Ben, I just want to share the Bivol and Berdavid last week. I know your guys didn't watch that. You had other things on the agenda, but
no,
I don't know if you watched it, catched it up on YouTube.
No, I watched it live.
Watch it live. Okay, so you got home in time to check out that.
I watched it live, me, yeah. My the young guy against the 40-year-old.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I watched it all.
What did you make to the fight?
I thought it was a good fight, to be fair.
Who was the boxing between Berdavid and who?
Bivol.
Oh, rematch.
Yeah, the rematch too, you know.
Who won?
Bivol got him on a majority points decision.
He should have won it the first time, I thought, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like just thinking about that because, like, you know, if they did give it a draw the first match, yeah, I'd have gone with that, or give it Bivol, I'd have gone with that as well. You know, it was very, very tight. Another tight fight as well. I mean, the judges, one judge got it, scored it a draw, 1-1-14 for both of them. Another judge scored it 1-16-1-12. And the other judge, the final judge, gave it 1-15-1-13. There was one round. No, weren't one round. There was three rounds where Bivol wasn't really flinging the right.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, surely he must have kind of lost a whillip of points. Mm. You know, we're just jabbing. Mm. Mm. You know, even the pundits were saying that maybe he's got an injury or something like
that.
You're
talking to young boy, aren't you?
Mm.
Yeah, because...
It was very strange.
One bit, all I saw was something called jab-jab business, and he weren't really doing nothing, really. And then, all of a sudden, near the ending rounds now, he started to let it flow.
Mm.
Yeah, he started to let it flow, and I mean let it flow. So, yeah, it was a good fight. It was a good fight.
So you got no problem with the decision then?
Not at all. Oh, okay. Apart from, like I said, you know, just said, like, the three rounds where he wasn't really flinging, and there were no kind of, like, discussion about that, as far as I know, after the fight. But, you know, I was hoping that he would take it. I mean, Berdavid, he had words with him after. I don't think they shook hands.
No, he walked off.
Yeah.
He walked off.
Did he?
Yeah.
Some kind
of
disagreement and that.
He did.
But it sets it up for the trilogy, for the third fight.
Yeah, it was a 1-1, no, innit?
Yeah, you know. But for me, another contender for the fight of that night was the Joshua Buatsi against Callum Smith. Now, that was a right tear-up.
No, I didn't see that.
That one wouldn't have looked out of place in a movie, you know, like them Rocky film. It was a proper tear-up. If you've got any free time, just check that one out on YouTube. 100%, you'll definitely get entertained with that one. Callum Smith took that one on unanimous points decision. So he claims the WBO interim light middleweight title of the world. Unanimous decision, like I said, and them scores was 119-110, 115-113, and 116-112. fair play to Callum. But yeah, fair play to Callum, because afterwards he was saying that, I don't know what one of the judges was thinking. He gave him 119 to 110 in favour,
and
he
said that
yeah, he said Boatsy didn't really deserve that. I don't think you get many fighters coming clean after that one. So he said, yeah, a bit unfair, but you know, I think that's going to be a serious contender for fight of the year. Like I said, Google it before you lose it, before them take it off.
You know what referees can be like, isn't it? We've seen many matches where the scoring has been kind of biased, really, isn't it?
It's the judges.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah, where the scoring's been kind of biased on it, whatever before, so that's no surprise. But 1-9, 1-10, that's a...
Yeah, I think the judge's situation should be more... more kind of like open. What's the word I'm looking for? Transparent. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, I think that needs to be kind of changed. But a pantomime time was Parker versus Bacoli. Yeah. Pantomime time.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Whoa, that pantomime for real. Like, yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, man. What, was it second round business?
Yeah, I mean...
I tried to do a little punch and then... Fuck, I just... Whoop!
Yeah. I mean, Bacoli, a.k.a. the Boogeyman, you know? They might as well call him the Invisible Man, you know? Because he did tear the canvas.
What round was that in?
Round two,
he went down.
Yeah, so, I mean, for 5 minutes, 17 seconds...
How much you earn?
He collected, what? £3 million. Just less than £3 million, I think he got for that one. And yeah, okay, so, you know, he came in at short
last
notice.
Yeah.
He wasn't in a training camp. He said that he'd been to the gym... a couple of times. I doubt that very much.
Yeah.
While Parker was in a training camp, what, between maybe 6 to 12 months, I would probably say, Parker was in a training camp for. Yeah. So he said afterwards that he didn't want to let the excellency down, and, you know, basically what he's saying is, put the money into my bank and I'm on the next... flight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? For 5 minutes, 17 seconds, $3 mil.
Yeah, it was prepared to lose. He knew it was going to lose. But for £3 million, even I jump in the ring for that. Drop those.
Yeah, well, with that jump in the ring too. You know what I mean? I mean, without trying to fling him over the rope.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you can't get over, you get under it. Drag him underneath. Yeah. $3 million, thank you very much.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I get that.
They say if you can't get over it, get under it.
Just stand up in the ring.
You know? Yeah.
The breeze of the punch just slide down on canvas, man.
You know? But, Bacoli wasn't fighting until May. And, you know, like I said, he was ticking over in the gym, but he must have watched the clock tick over. You know what I mean? What he's actually doing.
He wasn't saying one. He was doing some little pata cake punch. Yeah! And then next minute, Parker just came to.
Oh, whoa.
And he lied down.
That's
enough for me. Grab a burger to the airport.
Spin him round like Zebedee, like, you know, magic roundabout. And then Doodle come. Is it Doodle?
Doodle, I'm Florence.
Come in one little towel of flour.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, do you think Bacoli did his reputation any damage? What do you say to that?
Well, it didn't do him any good, really, neither, did it? But
I mean,
it's not his
bank balance. Is nice.
His bank balance, but
yeah,
this was for the belt, isn't it?
Mm.
Listen, so he can now sit back now and think, well, I don't have to go in that ring again.
Mm. It's true, it's true.
You know, he didn't have to go back in that ring again. Yeah. No, he controls that money correctly.
Once he's paid,
large.
He's got to pay.
He's large.
Left. He's all right.
You know, he's large up.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's supposed to got a next fight in May. I'm not sure who his opponent is against, but you know, let's hope the boogeyman lives up to his name this time instead of the invisible man, you know, because he went disappearing big time, you know. And I mean, he did say after the fight, you know, that, you know, didn't want to let him down, and you know, when he got the call, he just said, yeah, he takes it. But don't kind of like fool the public, like say you fit on all them kind of thing there, you know what I mean? But he might take carp on beach and that, and I play beach ball on beach, and you know, I kind of lick ice cream and all them thing there, you know.
Gonna
I mean?
Enjoy himself while I'm at the sunshine in the warm to you.
It's true, it's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, man, licking my ice cream, yes, that's a bad.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. That's just G. G keeping it real, putting me in my place. Yeah? Yeah, you know? And I ain't got a problem with that. On to another pantomime show. This happens on 26th of April. The Eubanks and Ben fan wagon. You know, and people say that this isn't no title at stake, but it is. It's the omelette. Who can cook up the best omelette? You know what I mean? That's what it's about. You know what I mean? So, you know, and this is happening at Spurs Stadium. 62,850 capacity for this one. And, I mean, you know, we were talking before we come on air about the press conference and that. That he took an egg and aim right cheek.
How did he get an egg in there? I mean, come on. Now, why would you want to do that?
I must see them big Italian leather jacket in my wear. You know what I mean?
Listen,
you know?
Let me tell you something, right? When, you know, when Eubanks put the egg on him, he just scramble up in brain. You know what I mean?
You clap him on him head with it. Just come down so. And
I met her. Scramble up him. And just scramble up.
So
him, like scramble, you know, like scramble egg. And just scramble him up, man. With one little boof. And the egg just a floor.
Did you see G?
No, I'm not
see. Yeah, you're going. Look. No, you're going to see now. You're going to see my man just put it on him. Look. Look,
yeah,
watch.
I mean, you know, for those people who haven't seen it, just go up on YouTube and it's all over it. We've just got it running in the studio here. And as Eubank just says, you know what I mean?
He just put it on him, man. Just scramble up in brain, you know what I mean?
Should I just slap him both in my brain?
And the thing is as well, I mean, they asked Eubank at the press conference in Manchester this time, you know, why he did it. And Eubanks were just basically saying, well, you know, it was due, you know what I mean? You know, and people were saying that, you know, why kind of... Basically, we're saying why bring all that kind of stuff really into it? But to be fair, Eubank had an answer for that. He says, you know, like when the original fight was to take place, and Ben was cheating and stuff like that. So yeah. You know what I mean? He deserves a bit of egg because Ben said that he would have contaminated egg in it. What mash him up?
All right, so that's why
he said, like, well, that.
Yeah.
Because a scrambled egg on your chin.
Listen. Your story's justifiable.
Lucky says not no bile egg. Because it would have hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, that would have come in like,
yeah,
you know what
lucky,
I mean?
Lucky, all teeth and everything would have one gun salt, one gun. And all that, all the way.
Oh gosh. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on the money side, I mean, everybody's winning in that one. I mean, Ben, sorry, Eubank Jr. has managed to negotiate a 55-45 split, which is quite interesting because he was saying that Hearn was kind of like telling lies that their camp got a 60-40 split. So Eubank said, nah, man, you know, tell the truth, man. You know what I mean? You know, it's 55-45 split.
Yeah, which is fair. It's still in the sense, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, you know.
So let me ask a question then. Who you think will win this then?
I can't really call it at the moment. I can't really call it because I think what spoilt it for me already, you know, take the pantomime away from it, they've got another fight. Yeah. You know, so that's already... And then what we're going to get, the trilogy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. When Ben's dad was trying to apologise? He apologised to him and he just told him, say he didn't want to hear them kind of things. Eubank said he didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. Right? And, go on, sorry.
And I thought, Eubank's, nah, man, don't do that. The man's apologising to you, right? Mm. And so you don't need to do them kind of things. Just take the man's apology. But you know,
what was this apology for?
Saying people saying that he don't like his dad and all that kind of thing. And he admitted it. He said back then it was, you know, it was his, ego kind of thing. You know, he just didn't like. But he's saying, look, I don't hate your dad. If without him, basically saying without him, he wouldn't be where he is now. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, true.
But my man, Eubank's, he's just...
I like that part when Eubank pulled up Nigel and he said, you know, you laid your hands on me, you know, and Ben said, yeah, you know, I apologise for that. And he was saying, well, let me tell you that if you do that again, you won't get it back. You know what I mean? And then Ben, you know, kind of just fly up and say, yo, you talking to my dad? Like, and, you know. So
I didn't see that part. So, Nigel laid hands on Eubank.
Yeah, you know what? When he flashed the egg on him.
Yeah.
And then Nigel, because, like, Connor got all backed by security.
Yeah.
So Nigel went for Eubank.
Yeah.
And he managed to put his hand around his throat.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, obviously they got, like, little split up a little bit. So Eubank were just saying, yo, if you did that again, you're not getting your hand back. You know what I mean? So then Connor was jumping in on it again. And then Nigel said, listen, son, you know, I'm old school. I can deal with this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it kind of like flared up again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So put himself up there for him. What's Nigel doing up there anyway?
Part of his team, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's part of the show as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You should have, you know. Yeah. So you've got one guy that's father, not around. You know, I believe he'll probably turn up to the fight.
But
I think there's a plan there for him to turn up to the fight. You know,
and he's. Do you watch Eubank's podcast? And he was near enough saying he's not interested in it at all. And he's saying that, you know, that he's trying to school Eubanks Jr. the right way and whatever, and he's not listening. So, you know, forward on, basically.
I believe that he'll be there at the fight, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it is a sad one, but these things kind of, like, happen, you know.
In fact, it's the same story, though, again, we're watching it. Just different. Yeah. It's like a remake of the original that we're watching.
If it wasn't for the names, would it be that big?
Yeah, would you watch it, really?
Yeah.
It's just a
tour. That's what I'm saying. I've not really had no interest in, because to me, you've just carried on the same thing. You've just passed it over to your opinion to do the same thing.
I wasn't really a Ben fan, to be fair. I was more a
Eubank. I was
never really a Ben fan, to be honest. So
I know Eubank on his funny ways when he come into the ring and the way he used to go and the way he used to talk,
I like them style, but they tried to ridicule him not too long ago. Say no, all of a sudden he's found his roots and starting to talk. Jamaican patois.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with that?
Better late than never, ain't it?
What's wrong with that? You know, His
life took a different turn. He's more conscious now. More conscious man now.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's true. Okay, onto the next thing.
The story began at Jamaica's prestigious racers track club, where coach Glenn Mills transformed raw talent into Olympic medalists. Blake joined the club in 2009, following Bolt's extraordinary success at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Under Mills' guidance, Blake achieved remarkable results, including silver medals in both 100 meters and 200 meters at the London Olympics. The training environment at Racers Track Club fostered multiple champions, with Mills' expertise playing a crucial role in developing world-class sprinters. These achievements made the recent criticism even more surprising to many in the track and field community.
Come, gentlemen. Drive, field. Drive, drive. Set. We have picked our shot. Well, that can't benefit you. You pick. Not even fractionally big.
Bolt's defensive Mills came with specific examples of the coach's impact. Blake is the second fastest man in the world, while Warren won a bronze at the Olympics and silver at the World Championships, Bolt said.
Blake, second fastest man down there. Mr. Master, Warren win Olympic bronze medal, world champion silver medal. The man take it from hurdles, because his knee was a problem. So he might as well get injured. Mike would stop it from hurdles and carry got 200 and 20 in a stack. Mm-hmm. Blake had come from struggling from Diego with a back problem and 20 in a stack. All these athletes, Bailey Cole, 20 in a stack. And then now, because you decided to now not do what you were supposed to do.
He detailed how Mills adapted training methods for each athlete, including shifting Warren Weir from hurdles to the 200 meters due to knee problems. The 8-time Olympic gold medalist highlighted Mills' ability to identify and nurture talent, transforming athletes with physical limitations into international stars. These successes made the recent criticism seem particularly ungrateful in Bolt's view. But wait, there is more. The controversy deepened when Bolt revealed specific instances of athletes not following Mills' guidance. He described how Warren Weir would skip training sessions for trips to Florida, compromising his preparation. Blake's case proved equally concerning, with Bolt noting how he often ignored Mills' injury management advice. These revelations painted a picture of athletes potentially sabotaging their own success by disregarding professional guidance. The Olympic champion's detailed account suggested that any setbacks resulted from athletes' choices.
I mean, yeah, basically, these two guys, so we got Johan Blake Johan Blake and Warren Weir. So they're kind of like having a go at Glenn Mills, who coached all three of them. Bolt's basically like on Glenn Mills' side. He's saying that, you know, this coach has basically turned you into a star and you're dissing him. You know what I mean? Why are you dissing him? You know what I mean? Johan Blake, he won gold in the 100 metres world athletes championships back in 2011. He was the youngest ever at that age. He took a silver in 2012 Olympics in the 100 metres and 200 metres. He came behind Usain Bolt. Now for Warren, he took a bronze in 2012 in London Olympics. 2013 took silver at the 200 metres in Moscow World Championships. And 2014 took gold 200 metres in New York, as well as taking a gold medal in the 2015 4x4 200 relay, which had Usain Bolt in that. I mean, should Bolt, is Bolt right to come to Mills' defence and saying, back off, this man's kind of like put you on a massive pedestal. But because of the inconsistencies with with your routine and your training. I mean, Johan Blake was taking trips out to the States and stuff like that. So Bolt's saying that, you know what, you've not really kind of like done yourself justice. Probably could have been a lot better, but with the slackness and stuff, alerted Glenn Mills to adapt these guys' training to kind of improve them, really. So instead of like maybe, I don't know, for argument's sake, if one day was like Hurdles training for, you know, strength and stuff like that, not that they did hurdles, but just to introduce that into a training routine, he adapted that, and they might have done some kind of like sprint running, you know, just for argument's sake instead, or done some kind of like weights, you know. But yeah, Bolt's come to their defence big time, you know. Is Bolt right, or should Bolt just settle in his retirement?
I can see where Bolt's coming from in a sense, because Blake was going to be the next best thing after Usain, you know what I mean? Yeah. Once we're talking about Usain going to retire, he was coming, and it was good back in the day, whatever else. So if you've got the opportunity, he had the opportunity to achieve like what Usain's got, whether it comes up to them records or not, and you'd rather go out and party Skylark than and taking it. You can do that after. When you're an athlete, what, 30 plus, you might be looking to bail out on, like, especially when you're a runner and stuff. You know what I mean? So if he's not getting his priorities right, I can understand why Usain coming and talk to him, but you know, in two Jamaican talk, it's not talk, is it really?
No, man, yeah, I mean, tempers can.
That's the problem, really, isn't it?
You know. So when you see and start telling about, you know, and say, listen, on a keep up this something them right? Instead of you fi do your little training, and when my man I tell you if you should do this and do that, you are take yourself off and say, but you are fly go a Florida. I wish part that. No, man, you can't go on with them something there.
Yeah, that's what he's talking.
That's great, man. You can't do them something there. If you want to be successful, you have to listen to what man I tell you. So, I feel in business, that's in it.
Mm, it's true.
But there's another young guy coming up now, isn't he? Is that what you were just talking about, Jamaican one? There's another young guy, he's only about 16, 17.
Oh, yeah, talk about the Australian youth, innit? Are you talking about...
for Jamaica, don't you? One for Jamaica, I'm sure he does.
I'm not sure. Oh. I'll have to check that out, you know? I'll have to check that out, scene. But yeah, I mean, you know, wow, time's moving on very quickly. 1852, going to the kind of like business end of this one. Just want to... talk about, in fact, yeah, we talk about Celtic and Rangers just for a couple of minutes, because the Rangers fans, they've been allowed back in to Parkhead. Now this clash is on the 16th of next month, so for the first time since 2023, since this fixture, these sides, Rangers fans, haven't been permitted to Parkhead because the clubs haven't been able to agree on ticketing arrangements.
Yeah, because you should just let them have about what 500 or something like that.
Is it?
Wow. Yeah, that's what you should let them have about 500, something like that.
Wow,
which is not
that so can work. That.
So then Rangers said, oh, so now cut me back then. All right, then watch this then. And then when Celtic went to Rangers now, he turned around and said, well, this 500 too. Yeah. So that's news to me that they're letting them back in.
Yeah, they're letting back in. I mean, I'm going to, hopefully I'm going to watch that game on Sky and stuff, because them games are just different, you know. Mm. Up north of the border, up Scotland, Glasgow, you know. But yeah, I mean, so we've got the fans being allowed, visiting Rangers fans, I should say, being allowed back in Parkhead. So from one set of happy supporters to angry supporters. And it's Thanchiri back in the news again. For the Steel City Derby, the biggest day of the following the calendar, the supporters of the Owls are cussing the chairman again. Because of the pricing
of the tickets. Obviously, San Siro, seeing a big money one for this one. Not thinking of the fans, but thinking of lining his own pockets again. And it's not the first time this guy has been in the news, whether it's the national news or local, or on our show. I mean, some of these ticket pricings are quite extraordinary. I mean, the cheapest ticket, I do believe, is £40, and the most expensive is £54. Ouch! Some of the fans are saying it's too high, they're ridiculous, it's disgusting, it's scandalous. I mean, they've got a choice, haven't they? They can either go or just watch it on, or stop a yard, watch it on the box. You know what I mean? You know, my seat's going to be comfortable. I'll have a hot chocolate in my hand as well. That's and right. might spoil myself and have a few Jaffy cakes too. That's you know what I mean? So, you know, I'll be watching it on the box.
Yeah.
You know?
What I do. If they complain about the ticket price, sit on a yard, man. Then my man don't make no money, is it? Why complain?
100%. Or what they do is just tell their fans to boycott the game.
Yeah.
Just boycott it.
Go and watch
you know
it
mean?
In a pub or something. Yeah. Everybody gather in a pub.
Hey, imagine that. I mean? 1,000. Or just if they had some kind of like private organisation set up one screen in Hillsborough Park. And they just charge people like what? £5 for... They'd ram it out.
Even a tenner. They'll go and ram it
out.
They'd
ram it out. Yeah. And I tell you what, that would really put a span in the works. Imagine
what's
that.
It would.
Big screen in Hillsborough Park.
Yeah.
That could work. That you know what I mean? That just, could that. Could, yeah.
Just left the Sheffield United fans in there.
Do you know something? I could even try a thing with that. If the two sides are in the same league next season, you know, we'll have to wait to be seen.
That's right. Yep.
You know. And also just running through things. I mean, off air as well. CV mentioned something about Man City as well. Reported to the European Commission's over, you know, rule breaches. So La Liga president says he has reported City to the European Commission's for alleged breaches of the rules relating to the state-owned companies. I mean, what does this mean? You know, I mean, he said that he believes that the case was currently in an investigation phase, as he reported it back in 2023, I do believe. So hence, that's why it's still in investigation phase. I mean, should it take that long? Who knows how long's a piece of rope? What have you got to say about that, TV?
I've got nothing to say about it. We finish.
Because
for me, right, you're suing the Portuguese Football Association attack with. Then you're suing the Chinese Football Association attack. Then you're suing the Brazil Association attack with. Nah, man.
Well, this is my message to City. I'm saying stop you messing around. Yeah.
Oh.
Hey! Yeah!
You want
stop you messing around.
You want pay them the tune to the people them who are accused with. Because that's all they're doing. Just messing around. Oh. All right. Go on, selector.
Oh, dear.
Running out of time, big time, you know.
Yeah, anyway,
meanwhile,
chuck in this quick time. Mm-hmm. Come on, Sunderland, that's what me want, chuck in.
Yeah, that's right. Keep it going, car. They play this evening.
Try to upset the captain before you go.
Listen, nobody
you have
can,
a few more seconds before
nobody
you come
can upset the captain,
upset
man.
Him,
nobody can upset him because he's, you know, he's big. You know what I mean? Yeah. So and then. I'm off to watch my little team there play at Plymouth, who did lick out Liverpool. Really, we should win that tomorrow. We should win it. But, you know how it go. But I would say City should get through that. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, that's the FA Cup.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, they should do.
Yeah.
And United, I've got them down for a draw. Yeah, I've got them down for a draw, really. Yeah. You know, they only seem to kind of like produce good bursts, you know, when they're playing the best teams in that division for a while. But yeah, against Leeds, I just think it